Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought lots of corn for popping. The lights are way down low, so let it snow, let it snow, let it snow,
let it snow.
When we finally say goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll only hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. Long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse, live from the Shelter Shed at Queenscliff. That was Frank Sinatra with the B. Swanson Quartet and Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. 26 degrees and 25 to 11.
Until 11, you're listening to Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Yes, definitely let it snow when it's 29 degrees outside and 42% humidity at the moment. A bit of snow would certainly not go astray down here at Queenscliff. A very good morning to James Taylor from the Surf Coast Times newspaper for the final time in 2017. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mitchell. I'm not sure about the snow down here in Torquay, but it's certainly very muggy. I'm standing out in front of our office here at Beach Road, and it's very pleasant.
Absolutely. So tell us about Anglesey Futures.
Yeah, this is sort of the next step in the long-running discussion about what's actually going to happen to the Alcoa mine and power station, obviously since the mine shut down, and Alcoa is in the process of sort of rehabilitating the site, deciding what's actually going to happen to it next. So there's been a long-running conversation run by the Department of Environment, Water, Land and Planning and the Surf Coast Shire called Anglesey Futures, and there's lots of community consultation, lots of consultation and plans and ideas about, well, what's going to happen to the mine and what could we possibly use the land around the mine for. So they've released their draft land use plan, which essentially this is the next step in a document that broke down the mine into sort of 10 particular zones, depending on what sort of land it is and who owns it and that sort of thing, and made some suggestions asking me, well, what sort of use would you like to see this land being used for? Now, probably the most interesting thing about this document is that it rules out various things. It rules out anything being done on the water in terms of the mine filling with water, because that's the long term plan. It will be allowed to slowly fill with water over time. But nothing's going to be allowed to be done on it in terms of boating or fishing or anything like that for at least 10 years because they won't have the data to actually assess what the water quality is like until those 10 years have gone past. So that kind of makes sense given that the mine will be filling up with water over a coal mine, and who knows what sort of stuff comes out of the ground when you're mining coal. Mm. So it's probably a very, very reasonable thing for that to happen. It also rules out, and this will probably be very disappointing to those people, especially in Anglesey, that were hoping that their town could go entirely renewables generated in terms of electricity into the near future. It also rules out any plans for floating solar panels or any sort of wind turbines on site because of that water quality issue, but also because of the state government's restrictions on wind turbines do still apply. As I understand, the state government regulation is you can't build wind turbines within, I think, is it 1K or 2Ks within the within the high water mark of the coastline and also near the Great Ocean Road. So there's a couple of things that have been knocked on the head. But as I understand from my reading of the plan so far, most of the mine will be put over to sort of conservation and recreation in terms of walking trails, that sort of things. But also they've also earmarked a couple of areas for accommodation, so I'm not sure. At least one fairly large accommodation site and maybe a couple of smaller ones.
So it was the draft that was handed down last night, correct? And there's still a process to go?
I got the email in my inbox at 4:58.
That's an interesting time to drop it just before Christmas.
Yeah. My first thought with my cynical journalist hat on was the only reason they're dropping this to us at 4:58 on a Monday is because it's terrible and they're hoping that everyone just misses it. It doesn't seem terrible based on my reading of it so far. So you wonder why they didn't release it at sort of first thing this morning. But I don't know. I guess things get released when they get released.
They wouldn't be able to get past the Surf Coast Times no matter what time of year. I think you guys would be pretty much on top of it.
Geez, I hope not. That's certainly what we're planning to do down here anyway.
What's the timeline from here? So it's been in the draft phase, but when will we actually have a bit of sort of certainty as to what's going to happen with that site?
That's not till at least the end of next year. This is one of those things that I think that's going to take time and needs to take time, because it's one of those things you get to do once. Because obviously, when we're talking about mind rehabilitation, there's the potential for things to go wrong. I mean, and also, this sort of stuff is also very expensive. I mean, obviously, Alcoa are tipping a fair bit of money to make it happen, but there's going to need to be some investment from the state government as well, just in terms of the cleanup and in terms of anything that might have to be built on the site as well. So it's the sort of thing that you really need to do to get right, because you wouldn't want to start work and then get 2 years in and go, oh yeah, hang on, this is all terrible, we're changing our minds and we're going back to town again. So as far as I understand, nothing's really going to happen in terms of not the draft use plan, but the actual use plan, not till mid next year at the earliest, I would say.
So at Christmas on the Surf Coast, what is that like?
Yes.
Pretty busy, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's not quite as insane especially New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve down here used to be very, very big, and the Shire made a deliberate attempt to sort of ramp down things here and make it more of a low key affair. I think in terms of having early fireworks and not really holding any official New Year's Eve functions itself. They like to keep things low key down here. Obviously, lots of people come down here anyway because it's a coast and there's fireworks and it's a great part of the world to be in, especially this time of year. And make sure all those people pick up a copy of the Surf Coast Stars while down here, of course. But in terms of the huge New Year's Eve parties of yesteryear, I think that is very much a thing in the past. I think police still turn an eye to Lorne, because Lorne's much more of a seasonal town over this time of year than perhaps Torquay is, because so much of Lorne is empty most of the year. Most of it's holiday houses. So when you have all these people turning up and they're all in the mood to sort of celebrate and let their hair down, it is something that the Shire and the police do keep their eye on. I think there are specific committees that will probably be meeting even now and discussing the police response. I wouldn't be surprised if the police come out over the next couple of weeks and sort of outline their response, essentially just saying, the warning people are saying, well, don't plan on coming down and doing anything stupid, because we're going to have police all over the place. So you might as well just stay home.
I think that's probably a very good message. Does the Surf Coast Times take a break, or does the news just keep continuing right through Christmas and the New Year?
We are barely finding enough time to sleep down here, Mitch. What are you talking about? We will be publishing right through the Christmas. We'll be the way the public holidays fall will make things a little bit difficult for us, because obviously Christmas Day is a Monday, I believe, and Boxing Day is a Tuesday. Both those days are public holidays, which is great for everybody. Given that we'll have a 4-day Christmas break, which is fantastic, but it also means that things will be a little bit tight for us. So I'm effectively working on two newspapers at once here at the moment. So Wednesday is going to be a very big day for me, and then we'll be straight into the first edition of the new year. Obviously, New Year's Day being another public holiday, that's another day that I'll be outside the office. So yes, there'll be absolutely no stopping here. We've had our Christmas party here, so we've got that out of the way. So that's one less thing to worry about. So we're just sort of elbows deep in writing the news down.
In terms of federal politics, it must be good to finally have a challenger to Sarah Henderson. The Labor candidate has been pre-selected. Libby Koch is making a return, which is going to be interesting. And, of course, you would have dealt with Libby many, many times. I've said to people that Libby's the first and only person to appear on this program running for all three levels of government.
Well, that's right. I think I had a very long and interesting chat with Libby yesterday to discuss her candidacy. And she said a couple of things that were very interesting. Firstly, she said that she's quite happy to stand again for the seat, given that she stood for Craig about the first time and wasn't successful, but she's happy to do it again because she thinks that she thinks people respect that. She thinks people respect someone who's willing to have a go and have a go again, even if they're not successful. And also. Talked a lot about education and how important she thinks education is. So I think it wouldn't be surprising if she uses that as one of the major themes as her of her campaign against Sarah in her attempts for Labor to win the seat. She said something along the lines of education really is a catalyst for everything. So you can probably expect a lot of pro-education messages coming out of Labor in the new year. I can't imagine there's going to be much in the way of campaigning between now and New Year's, and probably not between now and possibly even Australia Day, given that everyone's pretty much on holidays and we're all far too busy watching the tests. And hopefully the English put up more of a fight in the second two tests than they did in the first three, and it doesn't turn into a whitewash, so we at least have something slightly clearly to look at on television. But yeah, I think things now that the whole same-sex marriage debate is out of the way, hopefully it'll be a sort of a fairly quiet time in politics. I guess the next big milestone will be that creeping news poll figure in terms of the bar that Malcolm Turnbull set for one of his reasons of getting rid of Tony Abbott as Prime Minister, in terms of losing 30 news polls in a row. As I understand, the figure presently stands at 25.
That's correct. Yes.
So that 30 news poll milestone will happen. I think possibly in April thereabouts, March or April.
I was actually surprised on Monday. I didn't realize they were going to do a news poll so close to Christmas, but they have. So, yep, five to go.
Yeah.
That will be interesting.
Yep.
I know that Libby did use education as quite a big thing in her campaign last time, so that's obviously the strategy she'll be going with again. I'm disappointed we haven't had a chance to get her on the show, but hopefully we'll do it early in January or February. One other thing, does she have to resign from Surfcoast Shire, like, pretty much straight away?
No, I think she will probably only have to resign once they call the election. And that's still up in the air about where it's going to be. I heard Darren Hinch mention on another radio station that he had a hot tip from someone inside the AEC that no one should be going on holidays in February or March because they quietly suspect there might be an early election. I'm not sure whether there's any truth in that or not, but that's a story that's flying around. So it's probably not the case until declaration of nominees is in fact actually open that Liddy has to formally resign her position. She will probably do the right thing, as I think she did last time, and make sure that she steps out of any decisions of the Surfcoast Shire that might possibly impact on any funding promises she might want to make as a federal Labor candidate. I'm pretty sure she did that last time. There was a decision that she explicitly ruled herself out of because she said quite openly that I'm going to be standing as Labor's candidate in Corangamite and the Shire is going to be lobbying for this, so it's probably be inappropriate for me to both be lobbying for it and also possibly giving me money for it and also campaigning for money for it at the same time. So there might well be more of those coming up. It's something we'll certainly keep an eye on.
Well, James, thank you very much for being on the program this morning. It's been great to catch up with you throughout 2017. Looking forward to speaking again in 2018, but have a great Christmas.
Thanks, Mitchell, and enjoy those last few squares of the advent calendar.
Yes, definitely will. Thank you very much. James Taylor there from the Surf Coast Times newspaper, a great contributor to Mitchell's Front Page in 2017. We'll head back to the studio for one more Christmas song, and then we'll have our live music down here. Chris Ken is going to be playing a few songs for us to take us out at Chris. 11 o'clock on 94.7 The Pulse.
Are you ready?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Take a look in the 5 and 10,
glistening once again
with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, toys in every store.
But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that chooses the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Now there's a tree in the Grand Hotel,
one in the park as well,
the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start,
and the thing that will make them ring
is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots
is the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk
is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And the mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
94.7 The Pulse, and broadcasting live for the final time in 2017 from the Shelter Shed in Queenscliff. That was the sounds of Perry Como and the Fontaine Sisters, along with Mitchell Ayres and his orchestra, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. 27 degrees and 10 to 11.
Until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And we're just about there for the year of 2017 here at the Shelter Shed in Queenscliff, and we've got a very exciting musical act to play for us this morning. It's a very great pleasure to welcome to the program Chris Kenner. Chris, thank you very much for coming down.
Thank you, Mitchell. Thanks for having me here. Good morning, everybody.
You're from Geelong, but you live in France, is that right?
Well, I'm from the Western District. I'm from Glenormiston. It's down near Camperdown, down that way. But I live in Paris. That's where I've been based for about 20 years.
What made you decide to go over there originally?
I like wine, and I figured that was pretty much the home of wine. My dream was to have a vineyard, and I just went and checked out a lot of vineyards while I was there and ended up staying there.
And how often do you return to Australia?
Not very often. Just every couple of years I'll come home for Christmas. I've just popped home for Christmas this year, and I have to get back to work. I've got a lot of tours on. Starting sort of around the second week of January, I'm back on the road in Europe.
Well, that's very exciting. And what's it like in Paris compared to here in terms of the music scene?
Oh, it's great. I mean, compared to here, Australia's great too, particularly Melbourne. It's probably one of the best cities in the world for live music. But Paris is fantastic because you get to see all the best artists in the world. They're all coming through Paris. You know, sooner or later you get a chance to see them, where you probably don't get the chance to see them here in Australia as much.
Excellent. Well, we may go a little bit over 11 o'clock because Roads to Recovery has already gone on holidays for 2017, but some of us are still working right up until Christmas, which would be me. What's the first song that you're going to play for us?
First song's called Big Old House.
All right, Big Old House, take it away. Chris Kenner, everyone, live at the Shelter Shed in Queenscliff.
Thank you. Well, this big old house is as empty as a dried up well, but each room's got a story she can't tell. Well, I see a face I hear your name, dancing like a naked flame, burn out stones in your fireplace of cold. I go walking through your body like I see everything the way that it used to be. It's all over now, you have gone. It's nothing but an empty home, a lifetime full of faded memories. Oh, broken windows and dust on the shelf. In your garden are all gone, and the mailbox is